in Ephesians chapter 2, we dealt with this text already, I was going to say this month, but this is the first Sunday of this month, but within the last few weeks, we're going to finish up in dealing with a portion of it, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning there with verse 14. Verse 14, remember how when we talked about the peace of God, we dealt with Ephesians chapter 2, and we talked about how Jesus had won the peace for us by giving his life as a ransom for our sins. In Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about how he is our peace, and we're going to pick back up with verse 14, but our real central point of the verses today is going to be found beginning there in verse 19. But when you find the word of God, please stand, and we will read together, and then we will go into the preached word. Ephesians chapter 2. Lift up your Bible and repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It is the sovereign word of God.
It is the sovereign word of God.
I submit and surrender
my life
to this word. It is the final authority for everything in my life.
I am what it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
I
can do what it says I can do. On this day, I boldly confess. My mind is alert.
My heart is receptive.
I'll never be the same again.
I'm
about to receive
the incorruptible,
indestructible, ever living seed of the word of God. This all-empowering word will work in my life and through my circumstances, and it shall forever be unto me a fountain of life, and I shall never thirst again. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning there with verse 14, the Bible reads, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we have both access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Amen. Verse 19 says, "Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's very own household." Amen. A family built on Christ. A family built on Christ. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. One of the greatest things, one of the greatest and significant aspects of salvation is that we who were on the outside are now on the inside. We who were once excluded have now become part of the family of God. There once was hostility between us and God, but because of Jesus Christ, God has reconciled us unto himself. Jesus is the bridge that we pass over and through to get to God. In other words, we could not have fellowship with God but for the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross. And so it is because we have been reconciled unto God and have become part of God's own family. We know that we now have peace with God. And now not only do we have peace with God, but we also have the privilege and privileges of being part of the family. In other words, membership has its privileges. To be part of God's family, we have a right to the promises of God. To be part of God's family means that we have the right to be called children of God. To be part of God's family means that we have the right to petition God for what we have need of and to believe by faith that whatever we ask of our Father, He shall give. For the Bible says, if men being evil know how to give good gifts to their children, then how much more will God give of the Holy Spirit to them that ask? The Bible says that if you ask God for bread, will He give you a stone? In other words, God will bless you and God will provide for your needs because you are part of God's very own family. Oftentimes I hear people say, I'm blessed and highly favored. And there is this thought that some are blessed and some are highly favored and others may not be blessed and others may not be highly favored. I want you to understand that if you are a child of God, in the family of God, whether you like it or not, whether you understand it or not, you are blessed and highly favored. You can't be a child of God and not be blessed.
All right.
You can't be a child of God and not have the favor of God. You cannot be in the family of God and God not have promised something to you that is beneficial and a blessing to you.
Amen.
The mere fact that you are in the family means that you are blessed.
Amen.
The mere fact that you are in the family means that you are highly favored.
Amen.
The mere fact that you are in the family means that God shall supply your needs.
Amen.
According to His riches.
Amen.
In glory. In other words, to be part of the family means to be part of something special.
Amen.
It means to be part of something unique, part of something that is powerful. Listen, that you are a child of God.
Yes.
Y'all heard me say it in the past, you know, family and what your family lineage and line is important. And the family that you come from is important. If you look over there, the Queen and her sons and Prince William and his brother and that family, listen, just to be part of that family means you blessed. Come on, somebody. Because they have a right to go into the mansion. They have a right to go into the palace. They have a right to sit down and eat in the palace. They have a right to call upon the butler and the maid. And listen, they all understand what I'm trying to say. There is a privilege just to be part of the family. And when we have understand that as children of God, that we are in the kingdom of God, and God is the King, and He is our Father, that we can go to Him as a child. I'm not talking about as a slave. I'm not talking about, listen to me, as somebody that is on the outside coming in begging. I'm talking about somebody that's already on the inside, and that you can go and petition your Father for what you have need of. This is all because we are part of the family of God. The Bible says, "This boldly come before the throne of grace." God didn't say, listen, He didn't say, come begging. He didn't say, come believe, not believing that you will receive. In fact, He said that anybody who asks God for anything should believe and not doubt.
Amen.
So God wants us to come boldly. God wants us to come believing. What? Believing in who He is and who we are to Him.
Amen.
And so then we come. So family is important. And not only family is important, but fellowship is important. Because watch this. There's nothing that pleases a parent more than to know that their children get along one with the other.
Amen.
Are y'all listening to me?
Yeah.
That which breaks a mother father's heart is that when they see that there's hostility with their offspring, when they see that there is no peace between the children that they raised, and that causes problems. I'm talking about a good parent. There are some foolish parents out there that put their children against one another. But I'm talking about a parent that truly is wise and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You want your children to have peace one with the other. You encourage it. You promote it. Because you understand that that is family.
Yes.
And you know that whenever you're talking about family, even though you may not understand it, I want you to hear this. At some point in life, you might need family.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
All right.
So sometimes, listen, sometimes we're too good. Sometimes we don't have time. But listen, you might come to a time in your life where you need family.
All right.
And then it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what your significant role in society is.
Right.
You might come to a situation where only family can help you.
Amen.
I was remembering the former Spurs, Sean Elliott. Rich, made a whole lot of money, famous, and then he got a physical ailment, and I believe he needed a kidney. And his brother, nobody knew who his brother is. They don't even know his brother's name. His brother's not famous. His brother didn't play professional basketball. If he went to a game, nobody would even turn around and pay attention to him because he would just be another spectator in the crowd. But when Sean Elliott needed a kidney, his brother was the one that was able, the only one that was a match, that was able to come and give him a kidney. And then after he gave him a kidney, then the news folk knew who he was. People were then introduced to him because now he had some so-called significance and importance. But I want you to understand this. No matter how rich Sean Elliott is, and no matter how famous he is, he had a problem that only family could solve.
All right.
Come on, somebody.
Right.
And we need to understand this in the church, that there's some things, some issues, some problems, some circumstances that really only those in the family of God will understand, and only those in the family of God will be able to encourage you and lift you up through it.
Amen.
The problem with many of us today is that we have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And when we get ourselves in trouble, we don't know whether we need to call on the church or we need to call on our connections in the world. Let me make it plain to you today. I don't care how much money somebody has to give to you. You better not drop that connection that you have with the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Because when you call upon a true brother or sister in Christ, they know how to take your problem to Jesus in prayer. And they can do what money cannot buy. They can get to God when your friend on the outside cannot get to God. And who you need most in your situation is the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I hope I'm getting this to you today. So the family is important. Don't neglect the family of God.
Amen.
Okay, what kind of relationships you have out there? Never neglect your brother and sister in Christ Jesus. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Galatians 6 and 10, let us do good to all people, but especially to the people in the household of God, the household of faith. In other words, what God is saying is that if you are nice to anybody, make sure you're nice to your brother and sister in Christ.
All right. Amen.
Touch not my anointed. Do my prophet no harm. Mm-hmm. If you're going to bless anybody, don't forget about the people of God. Let me say this. You can look all throughout scripture, and you will see that whole nations were blessed or cursed depending upon how they treated the people of God. That's why, even though we may not understand everything that's going on in the Middle East, that's why we don't turn against Israel, because Israel is God's chosen nation and Jews are God's chosen people. And God said, I will bless those who bless Israel.
All right.
Come on, somebody.
That's what it says.
And so we need to understand. Listen, we don't want to get so tangled up in political world affairs that we forget what God says.
All right.
So it is that we need to pay attention to what's going on in the household of God. And understand this, that as a member of God's household, we are an exclusive people.
Amen.
Everybody can't be a member of God's household.
All right.
Only those who by faith receive Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You say, Pastor, where do you get that from? In Scripture.
That's right.
He says, we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. So in other words, if you don't receive Jesus, you can't be part of the family. Are y'all with me? That's just like somebody coming into your house. Maybe you were divorced, or you getting ready to get married again, and the person you want to marry, they come in and they look at your kids and they say, now I receive you, but I don't want to have nothing to do with your children. Come on, you would be a fool to say, I like that agreement. That agreement is okay with me. Come on, somebody. Somebody come in and say, I love you and you all right with me, but I don't want to have anything to do with your daddy. I don't have anything to do with your mama. I don't have anything to do with your family. I don't have any, because I don't like none of your people, but you all right with me. Listen, if you don't like my people, you don't like me. Come on, somebody. Because I am a product of where I come from. Are y'all with me today? Praise the Lord. That my people are in me somewhere. Are y'all with me? And so it is. You have to be very careful when you make fellowships out of the church, and the friend that you have out of the church says, I ain't got nothing for the people that you love in the church.
All right.
Okay, y'all, we go. You got to be careful with entangling yourself with worldly people that don't want to have anything to do with the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about people that may go to church that just don't go to your church, but I'm talking about folk that are not interested in God, folk that are not interested in the kingdom. They're not interested in what God says. You tell them what thus saith the Lord, and it doesn't make them know, never mind. They don't care one way or the other. They don't care one way or the other if you go to church or don't go to church, if you give or don't give. They don't care about anything concerning your walk with Christ. Be careful of those kind of folk having influence in your life.
Amen.
Something is wrong when we can build so great of alliances with folk out of the church and out in the world, and we cannot fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. This is good preaching. Okay, if y'all say amen or not. The Bible says, in him, this is Christ Jesus, the whole building is joined together, and watch this is significant, and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord.
All right.
In other words, what he's saying is the people are coming up in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Whenever you're part of the family of God, you are growing up into something absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
And your significance, your life significance, is always found in context with your relationship to the household of God. What am I trying to say? You don't know who you are until you know who you are in God's kingdom.
Amen.
Your life doesn't really have any purpose until you find your purpose in the kingdom of God. It is in the kingdom of God, the family of God, that we must learn who we are and what it is that God has for us to do in this earth. In other words, it is in the kingdom of God that we receive our assignment. That's why, listen, a good family, you ought to learn some things in your household that are beneficial to you in your life in the community. Mm-hmm. You ought to learn how to think well at home. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have to wait to get to school for them to teach you how to think. If things are working properly in the house, you should be learning how to think at home.
Amen.
Wisdom should come from the house. So y'all listening to me? You should learn how to conduct yourself at home. You should learn the significance of who you are at home. I didn't have to wait to get to school for them to tell me I was somebody important. I knew that before I left home. Are y'all with me? When I went off to college, when I went to Lubbock, Texas, Texas Tech University, one of my first classes, we had about 250 people in that class. It was a huge class. It was about five of us who were African American. Big old class. And when I was sitting there, I sat there like I was the one everybody needed to be looking at that was going to do something important. Now, y'all listen to me. It's not about being arrogant, but it's about being confident in who you are. I wasn't afraid of the situation because I knew that I had just enough, just as much intelligence as the next person. I had just as much wisdom as the next person. I could learn just like they could. I could read just like they could. I could understand just like they could. And I can get an A just like they could.
Amen.
I wasn't intimidated. See, what God is trying to do is put something in us that when you go out in the world, you are not afraid of the enemy. All that right. When you go out into the world, it doesn't matter what the devil says to you. You say, Jesus is my Savior and God is my Father. I don't care what you come here with me against. I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
This is what David understood. When David went out to check on his brothers out on the battlefield and he saw that they were intimidated by Goliath, David said, I'll go out there and fight him. And Goliath said, who are you, you little boy, that you would come against me? And David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. In other words, David said, listen, he said, you met my earthly family, but now I'm about to introduce you to my heavenly family. You met my earthly brothers, but now I'm about to introduce you to my heavenly brother, and his name is God, the Lord of hosts. And David slayed Goliath that day. See, when you understand who you are in the household of faith, when you understand who you are in the family of God, it changes your countenance. Mm-hmm. It should change how you carry yourself.
Yes.
And you shouldn't be depressed every time something don't happen the way you want it to happen. You shouldn't worry about everything that folks say to you. And even if people say negative things to you, you should just listen. You know what? It's like dust on your shoulder. Every now and then, you just got to knock it off because you know who you are in Christ Jesus. I am part of the family of God. Do you know who I am?
Amen.
How would you want to ask the devil sometimes when he's messing with you? Devil, do you know who I am? Do you know who you are messing with? See, one of the things that that really messed the devil up as he was attempting to destroy Jesus was that he did not really know who he was. No, he knew who he was, but he didn't really know who he was. He didn't really understand the significance of him coming and dying upon the cross, or he would have never killed him. Do you think for one moment that Satan would have ever participated in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ if he knew that he was going to rise on the third day with all power in his hand and take into captivity death, hell, and the grave and usher in the greatest movement of salvation that the world has ever known? The devil would have left Jesus alone and never messed with him. But he didn't understand the significance of who he was. And I want to let you know today that foolish, stupid, ignorant, unwise devil don't really know who you are in Christ Jesus either. And so that's why he's messing with you. But don't you worry about that, because just like Jesus came back on the third day and there was a resurrection to that which had died, anytime Satan steals anything from you or takes anything from you, God is able to bring it back 100-fold. God can renew that which has been destroyed. God can bring back that which has been stolen, because God is able to revive that which has been dead. But listen, you are not even dead. You are just going through a hardship. You are just going through a struggle. But don't worry about that, because you are in the family of God, and the family of God can never die. Amen. You are in a family. Watch this. This family never dies. The Bible says that Jesus was sitting upon the throne of David, and his kingdom would never end. He doesn't just reign for 1,000 years. He reigns forever. Listen, this is not just a family that is here for a generation and then gone. There's some families that we can look back through history and the whole line of that family has been destroyed. It is gone forever. You can't even trace back to find anybody. But you are part of a family that will never die. Amen. The family of God. And he says that, now watch this. This is the key. This is how you know that you are the family of God. And we're going to close. Because the Spirit of God is able to dwell richly in you.
Amen.
Come on, look what the scripture says. And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit.
Amen.
The family of God don't have any problem with Jesus.
Amen.
There are some folk, listen, we have some family members, y'all tell the truth. You have some folk, some distant cousin somewhere, that if they show up at your house, some of them you might not even let in. And then some of them, if you do let in, you ain't going to let them go but so far. Y'all with me? They can't go all the way through the house. They can stay in the front room, but they can't go to the back room. And you never take your eyes off of them, because they might leave with something they didn't come with. Y'all with me? But there's some folk that are part of your family, but you don't even really trust them. There are some people that are part of your family, but if they were not in your bloodline, you would not even talk to them. But when it comes to the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, he is that family member that gets to come in and go all throughout the house and and roam wherever he pleases. There's nothing that is secretive to him. There is no place that he cannot go. There is nothing that he cannot get into. There is nothing that you won't be transparent with him about, because he knows when you're lying and when you're telling the truth. And so he is the one that you ought to feel comfortable with, and you ought to say, Holy Ghost, come on in and have your own way. Holy Ghost, use me as you want to. Holy Ghost, do with me whatever it is you desire to do with me. Take me wherever you want to go. Keep me as long as you want to keep me there. I'm willing to go with you whenever you want me to go. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, because I just don't want you to leave my house. I want you to stay here every day. I want you to hang out every day. I want you to wake up with me. I want you to go to bed with me. I want you to sit down and have dinner with me. I want you to watch TV with me, because I don't want to lose you in my life. This is the whole, listen, this is the family. I'm talking about the family. I'm talking about the real family, the family of God. And you have the Holy Ghost, and he is the most important aspect of this family. You want him to be so rich in you that he touches everything in your life.
Right.
He is the one family member that I want to be identified with.
Amen.
You know, some folks say, hey, is so-and-so your cousin? And if they ain't about nothing either.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all know. Cause we got some folk in our family. First thing you said, they're in trouble. They do something. What do they do this time? Right? If somebody come and say, is the Holy Spirit in your family? And you say, he's all of my family. He's all that I want to be. He's all that I ever hope to be. Whatever the Holy Ghost told you about me is true.
Right.
Come on, somebody. Whatever he said about me is true. Whatever he told you I was going to do, I'm going to do. Because, listen, he's the one that I want to follow.
All right.
He's the one that I want to be like. Because I am in the family of God. Let your identity be that of the family of God.
Amen.
That's who you are. And so whenever you go out, y'all understand, we get ready to close. Whenever you go out, you are not only identified by being a part of this family, but I want you to hear this, and this is significant, but you represent this family. That's why we who are believers, we can't do everything that everybody else is doing.
That's true.
We can't go everywhere everybody else goes. There's some things that ought never be said about the people of God.
Right.
I know we're living in a time now where folks say, well, yeah, but you know, it's good just that, you know, we ain't got to be churching it all the time. Okay, well, maybe you ain't not churching it all the time, but you ought to be Holy Ghost
all
the
time.
Am I telling the truth?
Amen.
If he's in you, how can you go without him?
Right.
How can you be anywhere without him? What is it that I want to involve myself in that I can't take the Holy Ghost with me? Sometimes when we get ready to go somewhere, we ought to ask the question, Holy Ghost, you coming? He say, I'm going to go because you there, but I really don't want to go. Y'all will catch that in a moment. Because wherever you go as a child of God, you're taking Jesus with you.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Sure,
and you got to listen. And when we in there doing our thing, we got to understand that we Jesus is hooked up with whatever we're doing, we're trying to make him do too.
Hold on.
Yeah. Whatever we, listen, you can't get away from him.
Amen.
If you're a part of the family of God, he's in you. Watch this. I'm going to let y'all go, but listen. Think about something that your parent told you growing up, your mama, your daddy told you growing up, that was important, that they told you was a life lesson. Don't forget it. Hold on to it. And then think about when you got ready to go do something. Didn't it come to mind? Now, whether or not you followed through with it, you heard that voice. You heard mama's voice. You heard daddy's voice speaking into it. It was with you the whole time. No matter where you went, you heard it. Some of us, we put it aside for a couple of hours and then came back to it. But understand this. When you're part of the family of God, God is always there.
Amen.
And I'm so glad. I'm so glad that because he was there, he kept me out of some stuff I could have gotten into.
Oh, yeah.
And even some stuff I did get into, he brought me out of it in time. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Because he was there. I'm going to close with this. On yesterday, just yesterday, we driving down 1604. I'm driving on the access road. The lady swerves into the lane, almost hits us. The children in the back, all three of them, almost hits us. We swerve off the road, and she goes on down the road. I thought she just wasn't paying attention, and then she would correct herself, but she went on down the road, and she hit the car that was two cars ahead of us, hit that car from the side, looped back up. She almost flipped over, hit a pole, looped back up, and almost went up on 21604, but I was able to get out. I didn't get hit. The other person down the road didn't get hurt at all. She more or less tore her car up than anybody else's. But just knowing that God was with us.
Amen.
And even at that moment, she could have hit us and took us off the road and we could have flipped anything else.
Yeah,
but because I'm in the family of God, amen.
Praise
the Lord. The Lord was with us. And so that's why we have to be, have time for Jesus.
Amen.
Have time for the family of God. You will never regret the membership in the household of faith.
Amen.
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 Father God, we thank you today for your word. We thank you, God, because we're part of such a rich family with such a rich heritage. But not only, God, do we have a great past, but we have a wonderful future ahead as well. And so, God, we're just so thankful today to be brothers and sisters, even in this local fellowship. God, let us be all that we are supposed to be in the household of faith. God, let us do all we're supposed to do, and let us show the love of God in our heart, even as we join together to carry out your assignment for our lives in the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Is today First Sunday?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask that the preparation of the communion is made. Praise the Lord. And then we get ready to partake in the communion. I'm going to ask the Lord the Marshal come right here and assist us with the preparation.